This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am with Dr. Aaron Johnson with BIVI. I can never say
Beringer Ingelheim.
It's like something I should know how to say since I was a child, but for some reason, you know, it gives me such a tongue twister. But Aaron, you know, we've talked before, but, you know, it's interesting. Today was I heard you give a presentation I've not heard before on a concept that I'm really kind of getting enthralled with, and it's called the area regional control. So can we start off, can you talk a little bit about what that is? What does it mean? Like, what types of projects these are?
Sure. So area regional control projects are projects where producers and their veterinarians, they get together in an area, however big that area may be. It may be a county, it may be a whole state. But they get together and they talk about disease, they talk about disease transmission, they talk about what they could be doing to help help producers have benefits that would be more than they could do themselves.
So, for instance, this wouldn't even be hypothetical. Let's use a real-world situation. It's my understanding that this is what some people consider to be the 20th anniversary of PRRS.
Right, yeah.
And I know that I've heard that some of these ARCs have come together around eradicating, controlling PRRS. Mm-hmm. So when you start to bring these groups together, what types of things occur? Like, what types of things do they do?
Right.
What are the elements, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Sure.
What are these programs?
Sure. So an area regional project first comes together in understanding that there's a group of producers wanting to understand better what's going on. So they're willing to share information. They're willing to talk together. Then you come up with who's going to coordinate this thing? How's it going to get organized? How are we going to communicate? How are we going to know if something new is happening or what is happening that's good? Or how are we going to put educational things out there for producers to understand? And so you kind of develop that framework of what we're going to talk about, how we're going to talk about it, and you develop that process. And with that comes usually a level of trust and a level of comfort, and producers would come to meetings or simply participate online, mm-hmm. Providing information on a regular basis and asking questions and learning as they go.
So would one of the scenarios be, let's say a producer maybe diagnoses, you come in as a veterinarian, you diagnose PRRS, and they've never had it before, mm-hmm. but maybe one of their neighbors 100 miles down the road has had an issue. Is part of this then them being able to talk to each other about, well, what did you do? Like, what were the strategies you took, mm-hmm. to help control the virus or eliminate the virus?
Right. Well, and how do you think I might have got it? Do you have an idea as to how I might have got PRRS? What could I have done differently to prevent PRRS from entering my buildings?
So they're even looking at things like biosecurity,
right.
management, or all across.
Or if, for instance, the new PRRS virus that this farm has, is it similar to someone else's virus? Do we share similar trucks? Do we have employees that are the same? Do we have similar routes on our ways to take our wean pigs to the nursery? Just trying to understand, how are we related? How would I have gotten this virus from what looks to be it could have been your site? Right. And as a neighbor, you don't want to be the one that gave it to them, but you also don't want to be the one that gets it. So it's a good neighbor policy.
Right. Well, and one of the things I found interesting in your presentation was when you were talking about, you know, to go back to the PRRS suggestion or the PRRS issue. So you think as a producer, well, if I decide to participate in this program, how much money is it going to cost me? You know, there's always that. Mm-hmm. It always comes down to cost.
Right.
So, but there's not necessarily a cost. I mean, there's other benefits. So can you talk a little bit about some of those benefits that they get that
right.
don't impact,
the
they might not
line.
Impact the bottom line, but they have high benefits in terms of the farm operation?
Right, yeah. So the cost of participating in an ARC project would be time spent either submitting information, gathering information to submit, or time spent attending meetings, educational meetings, or working group meetings that would try to understand the policy of what we're going to do within this area. But beyond that, it was only if the area decides they want to do routine testing, or they want to require testing, or they want to require use of a vaccine, or they want to require you to use clean trucks every time, that would add cost to your operation.
Okay.
And that's decided upon by the area as the good of the area.
Okay.
And so those are the costs. The benefits to ARC are simply the direct benefits if there's better health on the farm and there's fewer breaks, that's pretty easy to calculate. Right. Everybody's happy.
Right.
That's hard to calculate on a large scale on an area without having years of data. We're getting there on some of the projects, but it's difficult.
Well, so some of the projects I know you're innovating a little bit. I use the term innovating, but maybe I'm just saying you're somewhat having to shift gears because, you know, you showed a really good map of these different ARC projects you had, and all of them were around PERS.
Right.
But then you also showed a map of some of the projects that now have added the PEDV virus, but it doesn't seem like many have done that. So
right.
Is part of what you're doing right now, because I know you do work with a lot of these groups, is part of what you're doing reaching out to them and asking them to start integrating the PED into sort of this formal, you know, control area to...
Yeah, so I think there are projects at different levels and as it regards to PED. So my role is not to tell them that they should be going to do that. My role is to support them if that's what they want.
Okay.
And so there are projects that have just simply rolled it in as if it's another PERS. They have another column on their spreadsheet. They report it on the same frequency. They do the alerts in the exact same way. It was seamless.
Okay.
Nobody thought anything of it. This is important to us. We're all going to do it. Let's go. Some projects are stalled in the, I don't know what's positive. I assume positive is positive tests, but is that a positive ELISA test? Is it a positive PCR
right.
test? I don't know. I don't know. When do they go negative? How long? How do you make it happen? How do I categorize things? And
right.
so there, we don't know, and we don't know what to do, right? And then as with announcements that this could be a regulatory thing, that this could be
right.
mandatory reporting,
right.
people are concerned, people are nervous, and they just, you know what, let's just sit on this for right now. We're not sure what to do.
Well, and I found it interesting when you were saying that it's been a very difficult virus to truly eradicate, where you've come in and you've put these strategies in places and then the farm is clean and then 3, 4, or 5 months later suddenly it's infected again. I mean, I'm talking as a whole, just doesn't really understand how it's being spread, correct?
Right, yeah, so with PERS, yeah.
PERS
as an example.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so as veterinarians, we got very good at cleaning up farms. We could load them, we could close them for a period of time, we can make sure the immunity on the farm is completely level, everybody's content, it quiets down, the virus goes away, we can stamp it out. We're good at it. The problem is you have to keep it, in order to pay for all that,
right?
You have to keep it negative, or you have to keep it clean for a good long while. And in some cases, it wasn't happening. They would break every year.
Okay.
And so the return on that investment is not there. And so we're learning better about how it's moving. We're learning better about controlling the virus. And so using routine vaccination so we don't have these outbreaks and these flare-ups all the time, we can reduce the shedding to try to minimize the production losses that we were seeing before. But, yeah, no, PERS moves, and we don't know all of
you don't
the
know
ways
how, yeah.
it moves. We know we can find it in the air. We know we can find it on hands and boots and coveralls and
oh, wow.
phones and things. And the same with PED. But we don't know what's most likely. We don't know that it's mostly trucks, and we should really watch our trucks, or we should really watch our people. Or we try to do everything all at once, but we're not very good at it.
Yeah. Yet. So do you think it would be a good solution or a good call to action, especially in some of these areas? You know, you mentioned some of these top areas like we're seeing. I know Iowa was one of them. I think Minnesota might have been another one. To potentially reach out to you and get some more of these ARC going specifically around PED and then hopefully getting them to voluntarily share that information with places like Iowa State and USDA who are doing research.
Right.
I mean, is that a valid call to action to this industry right now?
I think so. And I think at the producer level, what can an individual producer do today? One, talk about it with your veterinarian because your veterinarian knows the area. And two, talk about it with the local neighbors. Talk about it with the producers that are nearby. And so that's how a lot of these projects got started. There was a nidus of, gosh, I wish I understood more. I wish I had an idea of what was going on. I wish I felt better about this. And so once you get those producers sitting in one room together and they are able to talk, it could be at the cafe over a cup of coffee. It could be a formal meeting in the extension office. It They happen all over the place in all kinds of different ways, but just being able to start sharing information and talking about what's happening and what you're seeing helps. And that's how the ARCs form.
Okay.
Some of them have much more formal structures, and you can move on from that, and we can help you get there. We've got a lot of tools, a lot of foundational things to help get there. But that's getting the nidus of who wants to talk and who's willing to share. That's where people see the most benefits.
And I would be remiss if I didn't say that if an area decides not to do an ARC, that you have a region and other veterinarians within your company are still going to come out and help these producers and call for help with PED and PERS and these other issues.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And so an ARC, it would just be a larger farm. So think about it like this. So we know how, at least with PERS, we can manage PERS on a farm, on a given farm. We're pretty good at it. Knowing the area just helps understand that better, helps understand your risk better, helps give you a better idea of what you should be doing. With an area regional control project, if you had more idea of what's going on and you could control PERS in an area, some areas are close, then it's just like a farm, right? And then that area is one farm in all the country. Area regional control projects, right? It's just an scalable thing.
So is that I guess I should say in closing, in a perfect world, if we lived in utopia, what do you want these producers to know, not only related to these ARCs, but specifically the work, PERS and things like PED? What if they take one form of action, what do you think that should be?
They don't live on their own island. No matter how much they try to, and no matter how many barriers you put around your farm, there are risks around you all the time. Unless you move to some desolate place, unless you have pigs in Alaska, maybe, right? And so your neighbors are both your best friends and your worst enemies on occasion, and it's best to know which they are, your best friend or your worst enemy.
It's very good
right?
advice.
And so understanding it helps you make better decisions. So we were talking earlier about transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So today, if I thought I was in a county that didn't have any PED and I wasn't very concerned, of course, I wash my trucks. That's fine. They show up. But if you know that there's PED in your area, if you had a better context of what was going on around your sites, you might be more apt to go inspect that and make sure that they're washing them as you think they are, and you might audit that process and see that those trucks truly are clean when they do arrive.
Okay.
To your best ability, and so that might up your biosecurity, although it wouldn't really up your costs necessarily.
Right. That's very good advice, actually. Well, as usual, I always learn so much when I sit down and talk to you, and I'm excited to see what you're gonna teach me and everybody else next at the next event you guys hold.
So good.
Well, and thanks, I have to thank you and your team on the work you've been doing on behalf of these producers for PED and PERS.
Thanks. It's really rewarding to see it for me. Really rewarding to see the producers get together.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good stuff.
We're so good at these.